Shalom, welcome to Telling Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 139. This psalm offers a seemingly classic bifurcated message of praising God in the first section and pleading for salvation against enemies in the second. But we'll attempt to understand the relationship between the two and synthesize the two disparate sections at the end. It calls out directly to God, beginning with God's name, and continues directly addressing God throughout. Yet even Ezra says this psalm is unique in the entire Psalter, in terms of the ways it relates to God. Malcolm expands this idea, saying the psalm speaks of God's omniscience and providence, and the contradiction that lies therein. God knows all, and yet allows for human freedom to choose. Let me say with David Mizmor, Adonai chakartani vateda. O Lord, you've searched, you've investigated, and you know me. You know why when I sit, when I rise, my thoughts from far away. You measured my going and my coming, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even the words that come out of my mouth, you know already. You have beset me behind and before, lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, or too difficult for me to figure out. In classic fashion, it begins with the word Lamanatseach, the conductor, the victor, and adds La David Mizmor. Verse 2 says that God knows Shifti Vikumi, my sleeping and awaking, and in verse 3, my Archi Virivi, which left commentators perplexed as the words are either rarely used or seemingly out of context. Archi probably means my ways, the places I go to. Rashi says darki, while riv'i appears only once in Tanakh, right here. Ibn Ezra assumes the word to mean bishichvi, like when I go to sleep, as it completes the four verbs when we say we recite Kriyat Shema. Zerita comes the word zer, to circle, and basically God's knowing all of our habits and our ways. Verses 4 and 5 reinforce the philosophical belief that God's knowledge of us is so thorough that he knows our words even before they emerge from our mouths. Backwards and forwards, according to Radak, it means before we were born and after we depart, all is before him. Verse 6 concludes the mini-section saying it is a plia, a wonder I cannot fathom, too lofty for my mind to grasp. And then starts the second section. Ana elech miruchecha v'ana mipanecha evrach. Where will I go from your spirit? Where will I escape from your face? Imesak shamam shamayim shamata. If I run to the heavens, there you are. Imatzia shol hineka. And down below, you're there. Esak kanfei shachar eshkenav achrid yam. Even if I go to the farthest reaches of the sea. Gam sham yadcha tanchin. Even there, my heart, my hand is guided by you. V'toch zeni yeminecha. You grasp my hand. V'amar achoshech yishufeni v'layla or ba'adeni. I say, maybe darkness will cover me. No, gam choshech lo yachshich mimecha v'layla ki yom ya'ir v'kechashecha ka'ora ki ata kanita kiliotai tisucheni v'vetim imi. Even the darkness is not dark for you. The night shines like the day, for you have formed my insides. Verses 7 to 9 rhetorically ask if it is possible to escape God's providence. He is here on earth in the far reaches of the heavens and the ends of the sea. If we were to assume that the tenor of these verses is that escaping or hiding from God is what he wants to do, then we're mistaken, because in verse 10 it says, there too your hand guides, your right hand holds me. So it sounds like he wants to be held. This tension is something we'll discuss in a few minutes. He pursues this line of thought as he wonders perhaps the darkness will envelop him and God won't see him, yet he rejects it as God's light shines in the darkness and they would be found. If God himself fashioned him, how could he ever think to distance himself from God? The next section, Odcha al ki noraot nifleti nifla'im ma'asecha v'nafshi yodat me'od, I will praise you. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, marvelous are your works, and my soul knows that right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and finally wrought in the depths of the earth.
Your
Hakitzoti v'odimach. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all things were written. Also the days in which they are to be fashioned, for there's two in one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is their sum. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand when I'm awake and still with you. This section continues the theme of God's closeness with the psalm as a result of God's involvement in his creation. He begins by thanking God for the masterful creation, niflati niflaim, wonders of wonders. He speaks of having no secrets from God and how in God's book all was written. This is a strong argument for God's omniscience and intricate knowledge of man, having created him and every being. He concludes this section by praising, saying, asaprem or esperem michol yerbu. If I try to count God, there are too many. Your thoughts, they're like the sands in the sea. Hakitzoti v'odi imach, when I wake up, you're still there. The psalm is not a philosophical treatise. He does not attempt to understand the ways of God, the clash between God's foreknowledge and human free will. He does, however, mention it and even belabor the point of God's wondrous way of conducting the world, marveling at God's plan more than questioning it. But he's mystified by God's powerful grasp on him as an individual. Dr. Roth and Nachum Shravit, in their book Pirkei Tehillim, note that the root of the word dat appears four times in the first six verses and three more times in the rest of the psalm, which is why they believe it's the milah mancha, the guiding word in the psalm. They note that the psalmist, in describing the attention of God's knowledge and about everything, and at the same time this tendency of, or perhaps desire to escape from God's grasp, is only natural in the relationship the man can have with the deity. Ultimately, he chooses that closeness with God, for that will help him live an ideal life. Now here's the final section. In Tiktola Loa Rashab Anshe Damin Surumeni, surely you'll slay the wicked. Depart from me, you bloody men. Ashe Yomrucha the Mizima Nasula Shava Recha, for they speak against you wickedly. Halo misanecha Adonai Esna Uvit Komumecha et Kote Tachlitzina Sanitin Loivim Hayuli. Don't I hate them, Lord, who those who hate you? And don't I strive with them who strive against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. Count them as my enemies. Chakreni el vida levavi bechaneni vida sarapai. Reim derech otzev bi unecheni v'derech olam. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way that's everlasting. The final section expresses the psalm's clear decision that despite the fright at having God so close, he would rather God's closeness and support than distance and forsakenness. Roth and Shavit note that the opening of the psalm is parallel to the ending. Hashem chakartani vateida in the first verse, hachakreini el v'deal v'da levavi, know me and know my heart in the last verse. The apprehension of God's knowledge of man in the beginning of the psalm becomes part of the prayer at its end. They see the first three quarters of the psalm as the author in a bit of a trance or a dream until he's woken up in verse 17, and from then on he's wide awake to God and his surroundings. The last verses in which the psalmist calls out to God to slay the wicked, his enemies, which he hates, four times the verb of sin'ah is used, aims to somehow join together the first part of the psalm, which is philosophical and theological, with a very practical and emotional part. Roth Shravit explained beautifully that the philosophical treatise is his way of attempting to confront the very real emotions that scare him. The entire psalm in their eyes is about the psalmist struggling with his enemies, and though sometimes a direct call to God to smite has been presented, this time a much more nuanced idea emerges. He debates whether he wants God so close, whether he is being suffocated by God's knowledge of all, whether that knowledge prevents him from freedom to choose, even to sin. And then, in the end, after just a short but powerful reminder of his enemies and the evils, he says, okay, I want God close. I'm willing to give up on some freedom if that's what I need to have God watch over me, protect me, guide me through life's vicissitudes. The evildoers do not believe in God's providence. They live in a world based on their whims and desires. The psalmist rejects that world and prays that God cut them down together with their thoughts. Instead, Necheni b'derech olam, he beseeches of God to guide him in the path of eternity. In doing so, he will find true peace.